first at any doctor visit. No matter what brings you in, you often find yourself answering a number of questions, from mental health assessments to family health history. A new study conducted by a UW professor found that there is one more thing many men wish their doctors would ask about. 90% of the young men surveyed said they believe their doctors should ask about whether they have perpetrated or experienced intimate partner violence. Tova Walsh is an assistant professor of social work and an affiliate of the Center for Child and Family Well-Being and the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Tova, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Before we dig into the survey and its results, let's talk about the why of this a little bit. What got you interested in looking at the interaction between healthcare workers and young men when it came to issues of domestic violence or intimate partner violence?
Well, we know that intimate partner violence is a significant public health problem in the United States and around the world. And I think there's an opportunity in healthcare settings to be doing more to identify violence.
And in this survey, what were you asking young men and what did they have to say?
So in this survey, we asked young men, so men ages 18 to 35, about their experiences of violence in relationships. So whether they had been a victim of violence or perpetrated violence against a partner in a romantic relationship. We also asked them about whether they had ever been asked by a healthcare physician about violence in their relationships and whether they thought that their doctors should ask them about violence in relationships. And what was really striking to us was that the vast majority of men believed that their doctors should be asking them about violence, but very few men had ever been asked. And so we think that's a pretty striking gap and suggests an opportunity to do more to identify violence and then to use what we learned to increase prevention.
What did you find out when you asked whether the men had experienced and or perpetrated domestic violence?
So we learned that about one-fifth of men reported perpetration. So 19% reported that they had committed violence in a relationship with a partner. And over a quarter, 27% reported being victimized in a relationship with a current or previous partner. So a pretty prevalent problem in our samples, which I should mention was nationally representative of young men across the country.
And so what could be the benefit of having that, you know, routine doctor visit for whatever, being a point of contact for issues of domestic violence?
So a healthcare screening or an assessment when you're in the context of a healthcare encounter is an opportunity for a clinician to ask in a non-judgmental and compassionate way about whether a person has ever experienced violence and then to use that relationship to get them connected to resources. So whether it's connecting them to services specifically for victims or connecting somebody to services that are focused on helping batterers to change their behavior, healthcare clinicians really have a special opportunity to do that since they're people who are often seen as kind of a resource, a trustworthy resource, and can communicate with their patients about ways of promoting their own health and the health of people in their families.
Now, you write that one concern with this as an intervention is younger men, are prone to be kind of healthy, maybe not need those routine visits, and also B, by choice, not go to a doctor's office as much. That might limit the impact of this kind of intervention. Do I have that right?
That's right. So we were concerned about that. But one thing we found that was a little surprising to us was that a majority of young men in our sample reported that they have a regular doctor. So 60% of young men in our sample have a doctor who they have a relationship with, and that suggests opportunity for screening.
Talking to Tova Walsh, assistant professor of social work and affiliate of the Center for Child and Family Well-Being and the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW-Madison, looking at her research on young men, doctor's visits, and the questions from the doctor's office to screen them to see if they'd experienced domestic violence as a perpetrator, as a victim, or as both. And Tova, some part of your sample had been on both ends of domestic violence, potentially a cycle of violence in their experiences.
That's right. So actually, the majority of men who reported any experience with violence reported that they had experienced violence from both sides, that they had perpetrated violence and been the victim of violence.
Now, a lot of times when we talk about domestic violence or intimate partner violence, we talk about services for people who have been victimized by it. You see, if I'm reading your research correctly, that's a good thing, of course, but also that there's a lot of potential if we do more treatment and intervention for perpetrators or even potential perpetrators. What could that look like?
I think that's right. So, you know, definitely we've been more focused on identifying people who are experiencing violence and getting them connected to support. And that work is really critical. And it's really great that we've seen growth in that area. Where I think there's more room to grow is in identifying perpetration and using what we can learn about perpetration to increase primary prevention. So preventing violence before it occurs and changing the behavior of perpetrators or potential perpetrators of violence. What that could look like is a doctor asking an open-ended question of a patient, so starting with finding out whether they're in a relationship and then asking them if they and their partner are ever violent toward one another and figuring out if they say yes, whether that involves victimization or perpetration or both, and going from there to get them connected to appropriate resources. And, you know, research in other contexts suggests that when doctors ask those questions sensitively in a way that doesn't imply judgment, that people can be pretty forthcoming with their doctors and are open and receptive to receiving those resources.
Yeah, the results where so many, such an overwhelming majority of men said they'd be interested in seeing this as part of a screening suggest that men, even ones who had perpetrated domestic violence, wanted to have that conversation maybe with their doctor.
That was really striking to us, that even among those who had perpetrated violence, a large majority did want to be asked by their doctor. So they were slightly less likely than other men to endorse that belief, but still a vast majority, which suggests that there is really room for doctors to be asking. And we know that one of the barriers often to asking about violence is providers feeling uncomfortable asking those questions, perhaps thinking that they're going to make their patients uncomfortable or they don't want to be asked. So we hope that by getting the word out that, in fact, men are receptive to being asked, that that might increase comfort in asking these questions and initiating a conversation.
I know one concern with adding any kind of screening to a doctor's visit is that time is limited in many cases. Is there a concern that, well, this might be a good idea on top of the conversation about smoking or diet or exercise or all the other things that might be screened for, there might not be time for this conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is certainly a concern, is just thinking about the limited time in a clinical encounter and how can you ask about all of these things. But I think we can be, you know, inventive in how we approach this. So thinking about, you know, with what kind of frequency we ask these questions, or also that it doesn't always have to be you know, direct verbal questioning with the provider. It could be a questionnaire that's sent out in advance, like we sometimes receive, for example, about mental health, or with children's health care, we get questionnaires to fill out about the child's development. It could be done through writing or online.
So you've done this survey, you've released the research. What are you hoping happens now in a clinical setting? What are you hoping the healthcare profession does with this research?
So I hope the healthcare profession will increase asking about perpetration as well as victimization, and increase asking people regardless of gender. So I think it's really terrific and important that providers are more and more treating it as routine to ask women about experiences of violence. But I think being mindful that people of all genders experience violence, and being mindful that identification of perpetrators also offers a point of intervention is really critical. So I hope this will broaden our thinking about how we can effectively identify violence in healthcare settings and get people connected to services.
And do you have thoughts on a next step in your own research on this?
So in my research on this, one of the things that I'm really interested in learning more about is breaking down the differences between those who both perpetrate and experience violence as a victim, thinking about the kinds of tailored services that folks might need in that situation. So it's one of the things that research tells us is that the kind of worst health outcomes are associated with being involved in violence, both as a perpetrator and a victim. So understanding what the needs might be there.
Tova, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Tova Walsh is an assistant professor of social work and an affiliate of the Center for Child and Family Well-Being and the Institute for Research on Poverty at UW-Madison. You can find links to the study that we've been talking about over at WPR.org.